Kathy is a 42-year-old woman. She recently completed treatment for colorectal cancer that included surgery and chemotherapy. She now has to return to her specialist for a follow-up every 3 months.
Having cancer prompted me to look at life in a whole new way. Before cancer, I didn't really think about the possibility of dying. I'm young, and things like that just don't happen to someone like me. Oh, I didn't think I'd live forever, but I did think I had plenty of time to take care of my will and other things like that. My husband and I would always say, "Yeah, we need to do that, but put it off for another day."
The change Kathy is describing is very common among people who've been diagnosed with cancer and can lead people to want to get their house in order.
I have 3 young children, a husband and elderly parents. They all depend on me. I work outside the home to help support our household. My husband and I want to see our children go to university and have some of the things in life that we didn't have. I don't want my family to suffer if something happens to me. My cancer diagnosis and treatment made this very clear to me. My husband and I realised that we needed information about what we had to do. Some of the things we wanted information on included making a will, power of attorney, financial planning and life insurance. We started by looking on the web for more information. The Department of Attorney General at www.justice.wa.gov.au has information on wills, trusts, enduring power of attorney, guardianship and administration, as well as who can consent to medical treatment for you should you no longer be able to make decisions. Now that we've started to look into these things, I have a greater sense that my family will be better taken care of, even if I'm not here. This really helped to take a load off my mind. I can relax a little more now.
Kathy and her husband realised they needed to plan for their personal and their financial future. They'd heard about advanced health directives or living wills and wondered if they were a good idea. Advanced health directives are legal documents that you sign to instruct your family and doctors about what your choices for your future medical care would be in situations where you would not be able to speak for yourself. Not every state in Australia, including WA, currently has laws recognising advanced health directives. However, an advanced health directive may have legal force under common law, and doctors are encouraged to take them into account and be guided by them. In 2005, the WA government issued a discussion paper on medical treatment for the dying, with the plan to develop the capacity for West Australians to make an advanced healthcare directive and to complete what's called an enduring power of guardianship, allowing a substitute person to make decisions about healthcare on their behalf. Legislation is expected to be introduced into the Parliament in 2006. For more information, contact the Department of the Attorney General. At the time this CD was produced, the best option was to make sure you communicate to your family and your treating medical team about what your wishes are. This might mean more than just saying what you'd like, but also writing it down so that people realise you've thought about it and you're serious about your wishes. While this is not legally binding, it does clearly spell out your wishes and may help to avoid uncertainty and possible arguments amongst your family. Under the existing law, there is a hierarchy of people who can give consent to a doctor for medical treatment and healthcare on your behalf if you lose the ability to make those decisions yourself. At the top of the list is an appointed guardian. Next is your spouse, next your carer, after that a relative. WA also has what is known as an enduring power of attorney. This is a legal document to safeguard your financial future if you become incapable of making reasoned decision due to your cancer progression. This gives you the power to choose who will manage your financial and property affairs and how they'll be managed if anything happens to you to limit your ability to make decisions for yourself in the future. An enduring power of attorney must be written whilst you are still competent, so you're aware of the power you're giving and the implications of this. An enduring power of attorney must comply with certain legal requirements, so you must first obtain the kit, currently available from NewsPower newsagents, Corporate Expression stationery outlets, or through the State Law publisher. Cathy and her husband paid around $5 for the EPA kit, which answered many of their questions. In most cases, family and close friends are able to meet care and support needs. However, if you have not enacted an enduring power of attorney and you do become incapable of making decisions, the power to make decisions about financial and property issues does not automatically fall directly to your spouse or next of kin. In some situations, where there's no appropriate person available or willing to ensure that your best interest is taken into account, a hearing before a tribunal may be held to appoint an administrator to ensure that your best financial and legal interests are respected. If there is an appropriate relative or friend willing to fulfil this role, the tribunal, known as the State Administrative Tribunal, will usually appoint them administrator. If not, they may appoint someone independent. If you are no longer able to make decisions about your healthcare or other lifestyle issues, then the tribunal may consider appointing a guardian to ensure your best interests are taken into account. Sometimes, if there's no one else available or willing, the tribunal can appoint the public advocate as guardian. Cathy and her husband also had to take care of some other financial issues during Cathy's treatment phase.
I was very sick for a while, so sick that I had to stop working. I took sick leave from work. At first I took all of my sick time and annual leave. After that, I was able to go on a disability support pension. My husband had to take about 3 months off from his job to take care of me and our children. He was able to get that much time off because he qualified for a carer's allowance due to the severity of my illness. We talked to Centrelink early on and found out what support we would be eligible for. The disability support worker we saw was very helpful and understood our situation. It was a great help, but we were still financially worse off than before I was sick. We used to rely on my income to pay for private schools for our kids and to help with care for my elderly parents. But now we needed more help. The social worker at the hospital told us about some possible sources of extra money for us, and we talked with a financial counsellor for additional advice. The financial counsellor suggested that we look at some other options. She said we could use our life insurance plan to get some money to pay for expenses during treatment. I also had a small life insurance policy that we could use to tide us over during this really tough time. This meant that we didn't have to worry about being able to apply for a loan while I was sick. We could also have accessed some of my superannuation early, but this attracted a large tax penalty, so we decided to leave that option for the time being. This all may seem like a lot to think about, but knowing that we had some options to choose from and that we could pick the ones that were best for us made us feel a lot more secure.
Assessing welfare payments while unwell with cancer is a legitimate use of the social security system. Each of us has paid taxes over our lives, and these systems are in place to support us when hardship hits. But the system does have quite strict criteria and isn't always easy to negotiate. We advise you talk with your social worker at the hospital or contact your nearest Centrelink centre to meet with a Centrelink disability officer. They can explain your options and help you through the paperwork. Basically, if someone is unable to work due to illness but has a job to go back to, they can get paid sickness allowance. This is not a long-term payment, only for temporary incapacity for work or study. If a person has no job to go back to, but the illness does not mean that they'll be incapacitated for 2 years or more, they'll go on to a New Start allowance, incapacitated, which means they're temporarily unable to look for work at the moment due to illness. Currently, if a person's condition is terminal, or they'll be disabled by illness for at least 2 years, then Centrelink will put them on a disability support pension. Some carers are eligible for a carer's pension. This is provided if the person they are caring for needs care permanently or for an extended period of at least 6 months. Although this time criteria is less if the person they are caring for has a terminal illness, carers who aren't eligible for a carer's pension can sometimes access a supplementary payment called a carer's allowance. Other supplementary payments that may be available if an income support payment, such as a carer's pension, is received include rent assistance, pharmaceutical allowance, and telephone allowance. If you live in a remote area allowance may also be paid. In general, there are options out there if you need them. Almost all allowances are subject to assets and means tests, but the process is made as simple as possible. It's always worth looking at what options are out there and how they might be relevant to your situation. Let's hear from a person whose cancer diagnosis created a career challenge for her. Melissa is 32 years old and has completed treatment for cancer that included surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. Unlike Kathy, Melissa does not have a spouse, children, or elderly parents to worry about. But she is facing major career issues that may affect her happiness and financial future.
When I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was a graphic designer at a big design firm. I kind of fell into this line of work and found that I really love it, and I'm good at it. Everything was falling right into place for me, but with my cancer diagnosis, everything stopped. At the time, I thought that I would just be putting things on hold, but now I just don't know.
The majority of people with cancer do continue to work during and after treatment. In fact, the Cancer Council has been told by many people that maintaining as much of their normal daily routines as possible by continuing to work can help them cope by maintaining a sense of normality in their lives. Work can even provide a welcome distraction from the ongoing concerns that cancer brings.
I wanted to get back to work, to get on with things, but I was really worried how my work would react to my cancer. And would anyone new employ me in the future when they found out I'd had cancer?
Melissa's fears are common to many people after a diagnosis of cancer. But in reality, most people find that the working community is quite understanding about what you've been through. Equal opportunity legislation protects workers from being discriminated against because of disability. An employer cannot choose not to employ you just because you've had time off work in the past through a serious illness. If you do have trouble with an employer, talk to your union representative, contact the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission, or your hospital social worker. They are all good places to learn your rights. The council helpline also has a social worker you can talk with. Some of the tips you might like to consider when looking for employment include asking a friend for help with your CV preparation and job interviewing skills. Apply only for jobs you are able to do. If possible, look for jobs with state or local governments or larger employers. Keep your legal rights in mind. Don't lie on the job application. When interviewing for a job, don't volunteer the information that you have had cancer unless it directly affects your qualifications for a job. If you have to explain a long period of unemployment during cancer treatment, then, if possible, explain it in a way that shows your illness is past and that you are in good health and are expected to remain healthy. Keep the focus on your current ability to do the job in question. There are federal laws that require employers to treat people who've had cancer based on their individual abilities and not on their cancer history. You should be aware of your legal rights and be willing to advocate for fairness in the workplace. Having looked at all her options, Melissa returned to her employer and found them to be more than accommodating of her needs. They were happy she was able to contribute her abilities to the company again.